This is Rural Health Leadership Radio.
Episode 57, a conversation with Laura Brooks with the Oklahoma Office of Rural Health and Dr. Brian Whitaker, a professor and economist at Oklahoma State University.
You know, most people would say, a Walmart can contribute a lot to a rural economy. Well, we just showed that in Oklahoma, that impact's almost twice as big for a rural hospital.
Welcome to the Rural Health Leadership Radio with your host, Dr. Bill Oxier. Each week, Dr. Oxier has a conversation with a different rural health leader to discuss what's working and what's not working in rural health, along with other topics of interest to rural health leaders. Rural Health Leadership Radio's goal is to improve health in rural America by providing a simple, no-cost means to share information and connect rural health leaders from around the country. And now, here's Dr. Oxier with today's guest.
Hi, everybody. I am your host, Dr. Bill Oxier, and welcome to Rural Health Leadership Radio. Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I were a more courageous leader? I wish I had more courage. You know, it's human nature to let someone else go into uncharted water to see if they survive before we go there. You know, sometimes it's appropriate to take a wait-and-see approach. Other times, it's better to be courageous and make bold moves. Support and confidence to make bold moves, to have courage as a leader, is one of the many benefits of working with an executive coach like me. Now, if you're a regular listener to Rural Health Leadership Radio, you know that we've been accepting applications from rural health leaders to work with me in either a group coaching program or one-on-one coaching. We have now closed the one-on-one coaching, so we're not accepting any more applications for that, but we still have room for the group coaching program. No more than 6 rural health leaders will be accepted into the group coaching program, which is being offered at an incredible value. So if you are at all interested in this opportunity, please don't wait another day. We'll keep the application process open until the end of August, unless all the slots get filled before that. So don't wait. All you have to do to apply is send an email to me at bill@billoxier.com. That's billaux.com, and let me know if you're interested in the group coaching. 100% of the proceeds for the group coaching will go to Rural Health Leadership Radio. So by participating in this, not only are you going to become a more effective leader, you're also going to be supporting Rural Health Leadership Radio. And I would like to thank all of you who have already applied. Most importantly, I'd like to thank our guests today. That's right, I said guests. We have 2 guests today. I'd like to thank them for taking time out of their busy schedules. We have with us Laura Brooks, who is a rural health analyst with the Oklahoma Office of Rural Health. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have Dr. Brian Whitaker. Brian is professor and extension economist, agricultural economics at Oklahoma State University. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Thanks for having us on, Bill.
So instead of me telling our listening audience about you, why don't you tell us about yourself? Laura, would you mind going first?
Oh, sure. Well, not to read my bio, but I am a 2006 graduate with my Bachelor of Science degree from the Agricultural Economics Department. I graduated in 2008 with my Master of Science from the same department. With my research focus was really in community development, and that's kind of how I got involved in rural health. I'm come from the community development side rather than clinical. And I've worked with Dr. Whitaker since 2008. He's actually on my master's committee starting in 2006.
You can't get away with anything with Brian then, can you?
No. I did take a brief interim. I worked for the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City in Kansas City as a research associate in the Community Affairs Department, which was a great experience. And then I came back to Oklahoma State and continued working in rural communities with rural hospitals. Today, I work with the Oklahoma Office of Rural Health as a rural health analyst. I primarily work with Oklahoma Critical Access Hospitals within the FLEX program, the Medicare Rural Hospital Flexibility Grant Program.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today, Laura. And Brian, can you tell us a little about your background?
Sure. I'm a professor here in the Ag Econ Department here at OSU. We're actually sitting in my office right now. I've been here for about 10 years, and I work generally in the area of rural economic development, where I'm fortunate enough to work with great students like Laura. I do teach an undergraduate class on rural development, and I work really with small communities across the state to kind of help them improve their overall quality of life, Most of my research focuses on rural infrastructure, so things like broadband access is really important to me. I try to publish a lot on topics like EMR use. I know that's probably of interest to your listeners, and also things like the economic impact of telemedicine in a rural area. So I do quite a bit in both research and community outreach and also teaching classes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you both for sharing your background. And again, thanks for being here. So, you know, the name of this program is Rural Health Leadership Radio. Notice the emphasis on leadership. So, Brian, I'll ask you this question first. What is your definition of leadership?
So, my definition of leadership is probably simply put as getting the best out of people. So it could be, you know, if you have people who are doing well, it's to get those people to do better. And if you have people who are doing poorly, it's to help them to do well. So overall, it's getting the most out of people. You could have some definitions of leadership that focus on specific types of, you know, outcomes and things like that. But my emphasis is on the people involved.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. And how about you, Laura? What's your favorite definition of leadership?
Well, I like to think of leadership as the X factor. And it's something that's not necessarily tangible. It's not equipment that you can purchase, hardware or software. But it's the X factor that can really make the best of an organization, business, or even government. Or it could also be its demise if it's poor leadership. So it's really the X factor that goes into any organization.
Okay, great. Thank you. I love that. The X factor. That makes it seem pretty cool there. So yeah. How did each of you, I'll let whoever wants to go first on this one, how did you end up focusing on rural health in your career?
So I'll go first. This is Brian. Of course, my main topic, my area when I was hired here is just general rural economic development. So Oklahoma is a pretty rural state. We have a lot of, we have 77 counties here, and about 2/3 of them are you know, non-metropolitan or rural. And so a big part of our rural economy is healthcare and, you know, the economic impact that things like hospitals and small town doctors and things like that can provide. So that's a big part of why I have a emphasis on rural health. And so I'll let Laura go ahead and give her answer.
Well, I kind of alluded to it earlier, talking about my background. My background is community development, and I first had the opportunity to work with Dr. Whitaker as a full-time employee in 2008. And it was a partnering role with our State Office of Rural Health, and we conducted the community health engagement process throughout the state for rural hospitals. The outcome is really, the goal was to get hospitals engaged and really kind of create that link between the community and the hospital. So needs and desires are conversed back and forth. And that's really how I got into rural healthcare, and I've kind of stuck around since.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for all the work you're doing for rural health. That's definitely good stuff and much appreciated, because the way I found and met you all is I saw your poster at the annual National Rural Health Association meeting earlier this year. And the big question that you were asking and answering is, what is the economic impact of rural hospitals on the Oklahoma economy? So what's the answer?
Well, when we did the economic impact of rural hospitals, it essentially has four areas. The first, we looked at all rural hospitals across the state. And so the definition we used for looking at rural hospitals was anyone who's outside of a metropolitan core county. So that would be Tulsa County, outside of Tulsa County, Oklahoma County, and Comanche County. And then we partnered with the Oklahoma Hospital Association for the Medicare cost report data. And we also kind of used their definition of small rural. So we're looking at hospitals outside of those three counties, but also hospitals who are 49 beds or fewer. So at that point in time for 2014 cost report data, that left us with 61 rural hospitals. We also, on the side note, we also looked at critical access hospitals in Oklahoma. At that time, we had 34 critical access hospitals. We have since, not to say we did not have any closures of critical access hospitals, rather we had three become designated last calendar year. However, based on our data for 2014, those were still PPS facilities. So we have those two groups, and within that, we look at the employment and then also the income of those employees. So for the Oklahoma Rural Hospital, for our 61 facilities, mm-hmm. we have total direct employment, no treatment, is 6,112 employees. And when we apply the appropriate multiplier, so we get indirect and induced impact, we're looking at 8,801 employees generated from the presence of those hospitals and the transactions of those hospitals and those employees in their local economies. Okay. On the critical access side, direct employment, we had almost 2,400 direct employees. Once we apply the appropriate multipliers, we're looking at 3,330 employees, from the presence of those hospitals and the employees, their transactions within their local economies. When we do the payroll income side of things, when we look at the 61 rural hospitals, their payroll that they pay out to their employees was just over, it was about $315.6 million. When we, again, apply the appropriate multipliers, we're looking at almost $382 million in income impact. And then also critical access hospitals, they have just over $131 million in payroll paid out. And then after, again, applying the appropriate multipliers, we're looking at over $156 million in payroll and benefits paid out and from their impact, from their presence and their employer's presence.
Let me just jump in there and kind of tell you what the value added of this research was. Like Laura said, we went out and got numbers from the hospital themselves about how many people they employed and their total payroll. And then as economists, we have these pretty cool tools that let us go into each county and say, okay, how much does the health sector interact with the rest of the economy in that county? Right. So they buy electricity, they buy goods and services from, you know, if a nurse is employed there, they go out and eat dinner, and we calculate these things called multipliers.
Right.
And so we take the base numbers and then say, okay, for each individual county, there's a different multiplier based on what else is in that county and how people go out and spend their money. And then we can kind of aggregate that and give a total number that documents just how important that hospital is to the local economy. So those were the numbers that Laura was tossing out there, you know, a total value for the state of like $382 million for the rural hospitals and, you know, $156 million for the CAHs.
Right. So combined, that's well over $500 million, correct? Am I doing the math right here?
Well, the CAHs are part of the rural hospitals. Gotcha. Is that right, Laura?
Yeah, they're a subset.
So that's all inclusive. Okay, good. Thank you.
That's right.
Clarifying that. Well, that's very interesting because it's a huge impact, isn't it? At least from my background, that seems like a huge impact.
Yeah, I think it's a very big impact. And actually, probably the neatest part of what we did in this particular poster is to try to put that kind of on a comparison basis for an average hospital to something that most people can kind of grasp, which is a Walmart in a rural community. So most people would say, yeah, Walmarts are pretty important for a rural community. If they come in, they're going to hire lots of people. People are going to spend money there. And so we try to say, okay, you know, what's actually would be more important to a rural community? Is it going to be a hospital or is it going to be a Walmart? And so what Laura did was basically compare similar sized facilities. So our average Oklahoma rural hospital was about 100 people. And we said, okay, let's just kind of make up a typical Walmart of about 100 people. And so I'll let Laura tell you what the comparison was.
Well, when we did the comparison, we tried to estimate Walmart wages. And then we used the same methodology where we had a total payroll. We used multipliers, like Dr. Whitaker explained, kind of what goes into the multipliers. And really, when it came down to was the income difference. Our rural hospitals pay well. Health sector employees are paid well, as they should be. And that really makes up the largest difference. So our employment aside, employees, hundreds of hundreds, either way, but really the baseline when we talk about salaries and wages, the health sector starts off at a higher number. And then obviously if you apply a multiplier to that, that number then becomes even bigger.
Yeah. And so the bottom, let me just finish up there. The bottom line is if you start off with 100 people in each case, the multiplier is actually significantly higher for the health sector.
Right.
And so you end up with, if you're talking about just a Walmart, you're talking about a total impact of about 3.3 million. But once you counter in the higher salaries and also the higher multipliers for the health sector, it goes all the way up to 6.3 million. It's almost double the impact of a Walmart for these rural hospitals. So it's, most people would say, yeah, you know, a Walmart can contribute a lot to a rural economy. Well, we just showed that in Oklahoma, that impact's almost twice as big for a rural hospital.
Yeah, and that's just looking at the income of employees only, correct?
It takes into account other things like where those employees go and spend their money. But yes, that's the main difference is the incomes of the people working at those places.
Any other key points that you would like to make on your research on that project?
We did go one step further and make the assumption that those employees at the hospitals do purchase items locally, or at least within the state of Oklahoma.
Okay.
And so we applied a consumption rate of 30.7%, so almost 31%. We calculated that by looking at total sales divided by income for Oklahoma, and then applied the state sales tax rate. So we then make the step that from the presence of these rural hospitals, almost $5.3 million are generated in state revenue. Wow. Through the Oklahoma state sales tax.
Were there any surprises that came out of this work? Good surprises, bad surprises, anything that did surprise either one of you?
Well, we knew the impact was going to be big. One of the people that works here at Oklahoma State, Gerald Dukeson, is kind of a pioneer in this, and he kind of pioneered these whole studies back in the 90s, and he's been making this case that yes, it's a, you know, rural health is a big driver for rural economies. So we knew it was going to be big. For me, I was kind of surprised that it was double what a Walmart is.
Yeah.
I expected it maybe to be, you know, a little over one, maybe 1.2, maybe 1.5, but double is strikingly high in my opinion. And so that was a good surprise that came out of it from my perspective.
Any surprises for you, Laura?
No, not really. Dr. Whitaker and I co-authored a paper in 2011 that was published by the Journal of Rural Health, where we actually ran ordinary least squares models. And we had, for Oklahoma, we had retail sales as the dependent variable.
Okay.
We had various dummy variables on the right-hand side of the equation. One of those was the presence of a critical access hospital. We also had the presence of a Walmart as a dummy variable. Both of those within our models were positive and significant. And actually, the critical access variable had a slight edge over the Walmart, but it's safe to say that both really attract folks into their community.
Yes.
We know that Walmart serves as an attractor, but critical access hospitals do as well.
Absolutely. So how could the administrator of a rural hospital use this information?
Well, I work within the Office of Rural Health. Corey Kaiser is the director of the office. We work together and do community health needs assessments throughout the state. One of the four main components of our community health needs assessments is an economic impact of the health sector, not necessarily because it's an IRS requirement, but it's just great information. And so as a rural hospital administrator, we would definitely encourage you to share this information with your board members. It's also a great tool to communicate with your local chamber of commerce, city, and other civic organizations.
So what is the best way for a rural hospital administrator to know what the economic impact that his or her hospital is having on his or her respective community?
Well, I would first start talking about, you know, again, as economists, we spend a good part of our careers calculating these things called multipliers, and we know kind of how they, all the nuts and bolts that go into calculating a multiplier. And so I would say, you know, don't just take some random multiplier that you find in a study somewhere. You really need to be working with an economist that knows your local sector, that, you know, maybe works at the university in your state, to get them to help you estimate these things. And so Laura might want to talk a little bit more about what the state offices of rural health can do, but I would caution administrators not just to take some number that Laura or I come up with, but to work with someone local to generate their own multiplier and get their own estimates of local employment and payroll, and to use those for themselves.
Yeah, like what Dr. Whitaker said, I would definitely start by reaching out to your state office of rural health. There is a state office in each of the 50 states. They can definitely provide you great assistance and at least kind of point you, if not help you directly, point you in the right direction. And then also, do not underestimate your nearest land-grant university. They're definitely a great resource as well.
Great. So, okay, that's how they can find that out for their own community and their specific situation. What's the best way for a rural hospital administrator to communicate the economic impact of their facility to their local community?
So that's a really good question. And I think it's one thing for, you know, administrators to know this information. It's another thing completely for them to communicate it to people who need to be aware of it. And so, again, the program that Laura runs and other people involved with the state offices of rural health is really, it's called the community health engagement process. And it's really about getting information like this out to the broader community. And so that's a great place. As you mentioned, the state offices of rural health, they can certainly guide hospital administrators into the best way of getting this information out. But you know, as Laura can probably give you some really good examples, but just, you know, putting a local piece, a small piece in the local paper and letting people know the numbers here and how it compares to a Walmart. It's things like going to the local Kiwanis Club meeting and educating people about, you know, these big numbers that they see. It's getting on the radio, talking to people that way. So it's more than just, you know, a report that sits on someone's desk somewhere. It's actually communicating it to the local residents and, you know, emphasizing that, hey, we're an important, not just because of the health, but because of what we can do for the economy.
I agree with what Brian said. You know, again, start with your board. Your hospital board is a good representation often of your community, but also, you know, your chamber of commerce, they market your community, and it's definitely good to share with them as well.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that attracted me to your poster at NRHA was I always like it when you put money into the equation, because we oftentimes we do a great job of talking about the healthcare we're delivering, but have a tendency to shy away from talking about money. And that's what I like about this. You're quantifying that so that can be discussed openly and shared freely, because it's vitally important information.
I agree. And even that, sorry, let me just add there, that last point that Laura was making about the total amount of sales tax generated. I mean, you know, these hospitals can make the claim that, hey, you know, not only are we adding jobs and income to the local economy, we're paying back, you know, sales taxes. So there's sales taxes that's being generated simply because we're here.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's all good points. Great work that you're doing. So I'm sure you've got something else in the hopper that you're already working on or plan to work on. What's next? What other work are you doing or planning on doing in the area of rural health?
Well, this is Laura. I am just finishing up, again, working with Dr. Whitaker. We're doing an economic impact of the rural residency side within Oklahoma. That's my most pressing research type is item on my agenda.
Can you expand on that? What you mean by rural residency, the impact of that?
Well, we have five total sites outside of the metropolitan cities in Oklahoma where our medical students can go do their residency programs. And so what we're wanting to do is quantify the impact of having those residents and the program directors within those communities.
Yeah, so it's a similar type of analysis, but, you know, each of these locations has, like, you know, one or maybe two directors, and then they have 10 or 11 or 12 students, or maybe they just have four students. But those people are all out contributing to the local economy, and we're trying to, like you said, put a number on it and help make the case that these are important programs.
Thank you. Anything else on the horizon or currently being worked on?
Well, I mentioned in the beginning, some of the stuff that I'm interested in is really, you know, deals with the use of technology for rural health purposes. And I actually have a couple papers on, I mentioned EMR adoption, electronic medical record adoption. And one of them actually shows that rural areas are, in fact, leading the way in terms of EMR adoption. In fact, their rates of adoption are higher than in urban areas. And so that's something I'm interested in following up on, you know, as the whole meaningful use protocol changes and then moves forward. But I haven't worked on that, and it's been 6 or 8 months now, but I'm interested in doing some more with that as things move along.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting, and you're surprising me with what your preliminary findings are. So,
yeah, it surprised me too.
Yeah, look forward to hearing more about that. Sounds like another appearance on Rural Health Leadership Radio, Brian.
There you go.
All right, so both of you have extensive experience working in rural America, rural health in the state of Oklahoma. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts, as you both know. Laura, what scares you the most about the future of rural health? And then, Brian, I'll ask you the same question.
Well, I think what scares me the most is that moving forward, rural could get overlooked and that our voice could be smaller. We know population shifts, we see them within Oklahoma, and then obviously at the national level. Also, legislators are more often coming from the urban areas rather than the rural areas. We do have great organizations such as NRHA and the National Organization of State Office of Rural Health, but just the population shifts and the legislation shifts are kind of scary.
Okay. All right. Brian, what about you? What scares you the most about the future of rural health?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point that Laura had, but for me, it's probably, and it's along those same lines, the past 3 or 4 years is actually the first time that we've actually seen total population loss for the nation as a whole from rural areas. Mm-hmm. So historically, we've seen very slight, you know, population growth for rural areas, but just within the past 3 or 4 years, we've actually started to see a downturn. And so that's something we've never seen before. And it actually does scare me, because we all know we have issues already with keeping rural hospitals open and getting appropriate reimbursement and things like that. So that's probably the scariest thing for me, is just that general trend for population loss.
Okay, well, let's flip that question upside down. Brian, what excites you the most about the future of rural health?
Well, for me, it's certainly technology. I mean, you know, you look at things like telemedicine, you look at things like EMR, and there's just a ton of potential there for rural areas. So I'm excited to see about what that holds. I'm excited to see, you know, what kind of incentives we can put in place to maximize the use of technology in rural areas. So I think there's a lot of the potential there, and I think it's going to hopefully lead to some great things for rural hospitals and rural healthcare practitioners.
Yes, technology is exciting, and a lot of the administrators and rural health leaders that I talk to are excited about technology, but they need someone like you, Brian, to help them with the economics, because that's always the big question, you know, the cost of the technology and figuring that out. So,
yeah, very good point. I'll just briefly, before I let Laura answer, I'll briefly say that, you know, we had another journal article that looked at the economic impact of something like telemedicine. Of course, you think telemedicine, well, you got to pay for all the equipment, and then you have to pay for people to, you know, service the or make the connections and things like that. But our findings were pretty significant about, you know, there's a lot of community savings for the people that don't have to travel to get their health care now. They don't have to go to the urban areas to get their health care. They don't have to, you know, drive 3 hours to see a mental health practitioner. So there's a lot of not just hospital savings, but community-wide savings that we tried to emphasize. So
I'm sure of that.
I'll go ahead and turn it over to Laura now.
That's fine. Okay. That's some good stuff. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to Google you a little more to read a little more of your work.
Yeah.
Laura, what excites you the most about the future of rural health?
Well, to tag on to what Dr. Whitaker said, we have in rural America and with our rural facilities, we have the opportunity to adopt and adapt quicker. We're often smaller facilities, so we can take on innovative projects and make changes quickly. With all the quality improvement programs and, you know, as we're moving towards value, rural facilities and rural health entities can really make a change quicker. So we have a great opportunity coming up.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. We've covered a lot of ground here in the short time that we've been together, and the work you're both doing is incredible. And I thank you for sharing just the nuggets that you've been able to share with us on this brief conversation today. We have covered a lot of territory, so if our listeners only take one thing away from our conversation today, Laura, what would you like for that to be?
The importance of rural healthcare and the importance that our rural hospitals have, obviously for quality of life and providing healthcare, but also the economic benefits that they have.
Thank you. And the same question for you, Brian. If our listeners only take one thing away from the conversation today, what should that be?
Well, I think Laura hit the nail on the head in terms of the economic impact of rural hospitals, but what I would kind of emphasize is, the thing I love about my job working in rural economic development is just simply the people. It's working with rural people and understanding their daily lives and everything that they contribute to the economy and to society. And so my main takeaway would be, as you know, as a rural hospital administrator or rural advocate, go out there and interact with these people. Let them know what you're doing. And again, not just from a healthcare perspective, but from an economic perspective as well. So spend time with them. You know, let them know that you appreciate what they're doing, but also make the case that, hey, you know, we're an important part of this community and economy as well.
Thank you. Great nuggets. And I would agree that people is important. And I just have two new people here that have joined the Rural Health Leadership Radio group. So thank you again for sharing everything that you're doing in rural health. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much.
And thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever your favorite podcast app might be, and subscribe to Rural Health Leadership Radio. To continue the conversation of leadership in rural health, you can join our LinkedIn group, Rural Health Leadership Radio. And don't forget to apply for the group coaching to kick your leadership effectiveness up a notch or two. Until next week, let's keep working to improve rural healthcare, one conversation at a time.
If you would like to connect with today's guest, please send an email with your contact information to bill@billoxier.com. If you would like to be a guest or suggest someone else as a guest, have a question you would like to ask, or simply want to contact Rural Health Leadership Radio, please use that same email address, bill@billauxier.com. That's bill@billauxier.com. You can also visit our website at www.rhlradio.com.
We'd ask that you please support our sponsor, the Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health. The Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health's mission is to improve rural health, one leader at a time.